Here's the other side of the coin. When what's consuming my energy and my mind is God's word, the thistles and the thorns starve to death for lack of nourishment. Watched it happen in my own life. I wrote down this little saying, feed your faith and your worries will starve. Are your worries starving? You see, I think this is a real simple little logical thing. What am I spending my time on? What occupies my mind? I discovered something. When I go up on Tuesday nights to teach the Bible study at Rockland, I have this little routine going. I would eat some dinner, then I'd go to the library, and I would read the news magazines. And the newspaper. And I would be a wreck by the time it came to study the Bible.
90,000 people projected to die of swine flu in the United States.
And, I mean, of course, the way my brain works anyway, the Windows concept where you click on one subject and then a whole menu drops down. You click on finances and then drops down, okay, would you like to know where the dollar stands with the Kruger Rand? Would you like to know paradigms of economic development in Europe? Would you like to know blah, 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 you know, how many trillions of dollars the national debt is now? And you click on any one of those subjects and that giant sucking sound you hear is your energy and your peace being sucked away on those things. That's thistles and thorns being fed. I'll promise you this. This is a little test. If that's the way you are, you'll hear this very study or another study talking to the feeding your faith, teaching you that God's faithful, and it won't last 5 minutes after you get out of the door. If the first thing you do is flip on the news, or if the first thing you do is read the newspaper when you get home, if you listen closely, you'll hear, and you'll hear all of the nourishment of the Word of God that was just planted in your heart. Don't think your enemy doesn't know this. You'll have an argument with your wife or your husband over finances. On your way home from having heard the Word of God of how God is your provider, God will take care of you. And what happens to that little seed? It can't grow because you're feeding the thorns and the thistles. Man, for somebody that used to be totally dominated by worry, I was absolutely shocked at how much of it was purely a matter of displacement. What I fill my mind with. If I fill my mind with God's word, the thistles and the thorns start shriveling. The worries start starving. If I fill my mind with the worries and that deceitfulness of wealth, oh, I'll protect you, I'll protect you, I'll make you secure. So all my energy goes into following that lie. Then the word of God shrivels and dies. It's not a mystery. It's a sad thing to me to sit here as a pastor and watch people that keep coming up with excuses to not listen to the Bible study. And it's like you dial 911 because they're going to need paramedics pretty soon. And it's happened time after time after time, 12 years that I've been here. So do we need this? Yeah, we do. God's word is faithful. It'll grow. What kind of soil is my heart? And I think that kind of even might change the way I pray for people. When I've been planting seed in their lives, it's really true for children, people that you love in your family. Are you planting the seed in their lives and then also feeding and watering the thistles and the thorns? I've watched parents do this. I watched parents that their kids would be absolutely fine, except their parents are total worry warts, and they constantly are speaking their fear, and they're constantly speaking their worries, and your kid is learning how to worry. And he's learning from you that God can't be trusted, because you don't trust him. Where do they come up with stuff like that? Well, they watch you, and they watch me. That's scary to me. I'm a pastor. I don't get to do any of this in private. Feed your faith. Feed yourself with God's word, and your worries and your cares will starve. It's a question of where's the energy and the nutrition going to? I did find it really interesting. I didn't notice it the first 100 times I read it, but I found it really interesting that the first time that when Jesus talked about the seed falling among the thorns and the thistles, I realized they were already there. Ever notice you don't have to plant weeds? Pick a patch of ground. Back in the days when I used to have lots of money, I'd buy the best topsoil, it would be carefully screened, I'd pick just the right place. Picked one place that had been a cow pasture for, 150 years. Really good soil. All of this effort, and out of nowhere, weeds started growing. I hate weeding. You know what happens if you don't pull them out? Do they just say, oh, well, I'll just sort of sit over here so that your nice little vegetables can grow? No way. They sink their roots down. It's brutal. Where do the seeds come from? They're everywhere. Weeds spread their seeds a lot quicker and with more creative techniques than the truth does. You listen to TV or the radio, you read magazines. Wheat seeds. Please silence all cell phones. At least it's not during communion. See, I think, gotta dance. You know what's funny about this? Those of you in CD land don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Don't look at Will because you'll really embarrass her. I could write a corollary to, an axiom that says the more involved and distracting that a cell phone ring is the longer that it will go on when you can't find your cell phone and turn it off. It's just one of those laws of the universe. If it was just a silent little blip, you'd have found that sucker so fast, turned that off. And where do the weed seeds come from? They're out there. Can I say something else in all kindness? And I'm speaking as your brother who was dominated by worry for a good portion of my life. I cultivated my thorns and my thistles. I studied how to cultivate them. I can analyze every worst case scenario better than you can. And I've watched people do this, and I've watched them teach their kids how to do it. Here's the five horrible things that are probably going to happen. Every time I do that, every time I'm playing that game with the menu dropping down, and I'm clicking on this thing, and I'm getting all uptight in the, and then some of the menus that are flow charts, and there's, exploded views, and I'm getting all eaten up with this, God will come along and he say, you need to click the God button right now because you're leaving something out of this equation. You're leaving out who you belong to, what he can do. Now, see, I can't do that. I can't leave him out of the equation if I'm constantly feeding myself with God's word. Because God's word reminds me who he is and who I am in him and what he can do. It's constantly feeding that God picture. So when the worries come, as they will, there's always the yeah, but. There's your Heavenly Father. So see how valuable that is? Get very suspicious if your schedule changes or you get sick or some other thing happens right when it's time to study God's Word. Get very suspicious because it could be your enemy. Because he knows if you're not feeding the seed of God's Word, just living in this world is going to feed the weeds. Going to feed the thorns and thistles. I mean, you don't even have to try it doing it, but I was an expert at it for years. In fact, if you just really weren't a worrier, just hang out with me for a while, and you would be by the time we had a few conversations, because that was my special gift. And we'll close with this. I've got about 12 more minutes. The good soil. Let's talk about the good soil. Couple of things I want you to see. The word understand, the verb, appears 5 times in this passage. Some of it we'll look at next week. But this was the word that God nudged me to look up this morning. This is after about 10 hours of studying for this passage of Scripture this morning. It was a nudge. It was like a poke in the ribs. Look it up. Look it up. Oh, I know what that means. Maybe you don't. Here's the word. Suniemi is the word. Suniemi. Suniemi. It's a compound Greek word. Sun means together. Hiemi is the word for to put or to place. It's the word that you would use for putting together a jigsaw puzzle, where you are looking at the table, you're looking for certain colors and certain shapes, and you're putting those together with other things of the similar color and the similar shapes. The example I always use is one of these little grab handle things. I always call it connecting the dots. Remember the old days when they had children's books that had a picture, but it was basically a page with a whole bunch of big dots on them, and they all had numbers. And when you would take your little pencil and you would draw a line from dot number 1 to dot number 2, and then from dot number 2 to dot number 3, when you were all done, it would be a picture. I see people all the time who have all the dots on the page, but they're not connecting them. The thing I want you to see about this verb, suniemi, is that it is a willful, volitional act. When it says that the seed falls and people don't understand it, Jesus said earlier, but here in the good soil, they do understand it. It doesn't mean ability to understand. It means effort to understand. It's the difference between looking at the page full of dots and saying, I don't get it, and sitting down with your pencil and going number to number and drawing the lines. It's effort. Here's the example I was thinking. I'm thinking, how could I describe this? Because I watch this happen every Sunday. I see groups of people who hear the exact same thing. And some people go right out and live their life of worry, or go right out and live a life of disobedience, and other people grow. And the word is exactly the same. I'm thinking, did I not explain it clearly enough? This connect the dots thing. Here's the example the Lord showed me as I'm driving to Oatmeal this morning. He reminded me of all the years that I traveled, 60,000 miles a year. I traveled by plane when I was doing concerts. I never listened to the stewardess's explanation of how to put the life jacket on. I never read the card, the instruction card. I was doing other things. I'm working on my computer. I'm writing music. I'm reading a magazine. The information is all there. But I remembered something I saw on a news report. When that plane went down in the Hudson River, a few minutes after takeoff, everybody was grabbing for that card in front of them that said where the exits were. Everybody was going, okay, how do you do the life jacket thing again? How do you do the life jacket? You pull the little thing, you know, where is the life jacket? You know, where's the oxygen mask? All of a sudden, it's serious. I think that's the reason why some people don't connect the dots. They don't process the information they hear in God's word. They really don't care. It's not that critical. I got stuff to do this afternoon. So they don't think about it. They don't process it. But you know what happens? When all of a sudden you don't know if you're going to make it through tomorrow, when all of a sudden your whole life explodes, you start getting real serious about stuff like that. And that's one of the reasons. That makes your heart good soil. Because now when you hear God's word, you're going to think, okay, how do I apply that? What does that have to do with me? This is the difference between people who have a heart attack and decide they need to start thinking about worrying and not doing it, and the people who haven't figured out they're killing themselves yet, it's just the habit. Sometimes that's what it takes for our hearts to be receptive to God's word. Here's the cool thing. The minute my heart is receptive, even if it took a disaster to make me connect the dots, it will grow. Adjie underlined the word produces and produced in verse 7 and in verse 23. The verb tense in that is the imperfect tense. Fred and I were talking about this yesterday. Imperfect tense in Greek means continuous linear action, which means in terms of producing fruit. It means it keeps on producing fruit. Plant a corn seed, and if it's good soil, a whole corn stalk will grow up filled with corn seeds on every little ear. And you plant those, and each one of those will keep growing, and God's word will just keep producing itself, perpetuating when it's growing in my life. And some of you, I've seen that happen. I've just watched it setting you free. I watched the truth setting you free, just like Jesus said it was. I've watched other people hear the same truth, and it does not seem to affect them at all. And once again, that really gets me discouraged, and then the Lord says, wait a minute. That's not a seed thing. It's not a sower thing. It's a soil thing. You just keep throwing the seed out there. You just make sure that your heart's good soil. You welcome the word. It'll grow. It'll keep producing fruit. It'll keep setting you free. You watch. You'll see. It does work. So, four kinds of soil, one kind of seed. The seed will grow. If all you give it is a half inch of soil, it'll start growing. You can chuck that little seed right smack in the middle of a patch of thorns and thistles, of cares of the world. But if you feed the seed and not the thistles will die. They'll die from lack of nutrition. Are you a perpetual worrier? Is your heart hard? You know, by the way, there's lots of reasons why people have hard hearts. And it's not always rebellion. Some people harden their hearts to protect themselves. I see a lot of men like that. They're so hurt, their only way to protect themselves is just nothing's going to penetrate my heart and then I'll be safe. You'll be dead and safe. And even God's word can't come and grow. Okay, all of those conditions are reversible. And my prayer is that we'll be able to look at this and see all the stuff that Jesus wants us to see. I think it's really significant that his disciples were the ones he gave the explanation to, because they were the ones that were listening to him. We'll talk about that next week. Why do we understand stuff that they don't understand and you have to tell them stories? He says, well, because you already made up your mind that you want to understand. You're following me. You're spending time with me because you want to learn. You don't just show up at the big events. So that's why you're growing, and you'll keep growing. You have a little, more will be given. It's not really a mystery at all. You see somebody whose life is an upheaval, or you see somebody that really needs their life to be an upheaval, because that might be the thing that softens them. I think it was Ravi Zacharias in his program was talking about the United States, and that the United States is hard ground right now to God's word. And he said there's only one way that you can make that kind of ground soft, and it takes upheaval. But he said, I'll tell you this, God is the only one that knows how to do that. He is the only one that knows exactly how much humiliation we need to be humbled and how much brokenness we need to experience to be receptive. And he's faithful. In the little Jonah study that we just did, in the middle talking about fish belly prayers, where you're crying out to God to rescue you, and you realize the only reason you're even in this stinking fish belly is your own rebellious fault. But God still listens to fish belly prayers, and he still will deliver us. But God help me, I do not want to be so bullheaded that that's what it takes for my heart to be receptive. I spent so many years of my life in a thistle patch. I heard the word. I heard it. I heard it. I heard it. I heard it. But I didn't feed it as much as I fed the cares and the worries. I've had a time in my life where I was so hurt that I've hardened my heart. Don't go there. Because God's word is the best comfort that there is when it comes from him personally. And of course, I've been in a time in my life where I had no root in Jesus. I just had my root in the rules. I had my root in my performance. I had my root in other things. And that's not going to withstand the scorching and the persecution. So that part of it's under my control. What kind of soil my heart is. What I feed. How I welcome his word. You're here. So that's a good move in the right direction. You're hearing the word. Fred pointed out to me yesterday when we were talking about this that when Paul, the apostle, talked about this, he said, look, I planted the seed. Apollos watered the seed. But it's God that gives the increase. So what about your family? What about the people that God brought into your life, like you said, you had an opportunity to plant the seeds, and now they're out of your reach. Well, maybe God will bring somebody else along to water those seeds. God's the one that will cause it to grow. The pressure's not on your shoulders. Your job and my job is to plant the seed. If all you can do is grab a handful of it, fling it out there. A thing I always love, Pastor Chuck always used to say at pastor's conferences, he says, it's like measles. You can't give it if you don't got it. You know, nobody else is going to see the value in God's word if you don't see the value in God's word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for all the new things that you showed me that, like all of the truth that you showed me, really set me free. My prayer, Lord, is for everybody that is hearing the truth about these things that you said, that we would have hearts that would receive, and more than that, that we would not just be receptive, but that our energy and our effort and our perseverance would go into feeding the seed that's been planted so that it'll grow. And you know the bad habits we have that feed the thistles and feed the thorns. Father, anybody that's hearing things they need to hear, but their hearts are hardened. Lord, I pray for just the most merciful plow that you can find that'll turn up the soil with a minimal amount of pain necessary so that the heart will be soft and the soil will be receptive. That's our prayer, Lord. And we pray that those that get so enthusiastic and sink their root down, but their root doesn't go as far as a relationship personally day by day by day with you. It goes someplace else. Lord, I pray you would grab their hearts. Names and faces come to our minds right this minute of people that their lives would be totally different, even in this trouble, if their roots just went down into you personally. So I pray that, Lord. I pray that you would confront them with that they would be drawn to you. They would cry out to you personally. Because I know what you'll do. You'll do what you always do. You'll be their rock. You'll be their comforter. You'll be their stability. You'll be their fixer. You'll be their life. So that's what we pray. And now we commit the teaching of the word of truth to the Holy Spirit. You said you'd lead us into all the truth. You said you'd remind us of what we've heard from you. And we're asking for that humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming.